See Sparky Fiverr with you here on 1250 AM The Fan. Time for 55 past the hour, delivered up by Young Express. Time for our weekly chat with Tim Dillard, Valley Sports Wisconsin, brought to you by Robert Hack Diamonds, where they pay cash for your gold. Visit them in Greenfield at 76th and Layden, or their new location in Brookfield, roberthackdiamonds.com. Tim, got to first start off talking about the rookie Garrett Mitchell. Couple RBIs on Sunday, a big home run on Monday. Just how impressive has Garrett Mitchell been?
Yeah, I guess he's like 2-for-7 right now with 4 RBIs. So, yeah, sign me up for that. Has a walk, and he has a stolen base. And what's interesting is he got picked off, but just straight used speed
right
to take second base. So we've only had a couple of times where we get to see his speed. And he actually, the 2 RBI single that he hit against the Cubs, the go-ahead RBIs, he actually beat Narvaez. Narvaez was on second base, and Garrett Mitchell was able to get to second base before Narvaez could get to home. That right there is explosive, and he's that kind of player.
Tim, how much longer do you think Council is going to leave him down there at the bottom of the lineup? Obviously, I know anytime you have a younger player, that's where they like to start him. But with his speed, like you talked about, and his ability to be clutch, it appears, you think he gets moved up in the lineup here at some point?
Maybe, you know, it could be whatever the pitching matchup may dictate, but we do know that Craig Council likes to put, for whatever reason, he wants to put like that ninth man as like the, you know, the second leadoff guy. But you sometimes have to go back and look at trends on who's ending the most innings and who's leading off the most innings. And sometimes that can play a factor because he seems like to be a guy that would be, you know, a potential leadoff type candidate.
Tim, the other thing we got to talk about with this Brewers team, obviously, is Christian Yelich also caught fire in the Cubs series with multiple homers in that series. First time I think he's done that since the Cubs series back at the end of April. Have you noticed anything different with Yelich? Because that's been the one thing. I mean, average-wise, he's been doing pretty good. Getting on base, he's been doing pretty good since going to that leadoff spot. August hasn't been a great month for him, but the power is what really has been lacking, and I feel like he's starting to drive the ball better now than he has in the past.
He has, and here's what we can't overlook, too. If you go June, July, and August, he's batting over .280. So that right there would be the highest on the team. And he's been doing it mainly from center field to left field. He's willing to drive the baseball. If you look back at, let's see, 9 of his last 13 hits, I believe 8 of those have come to the opposite field, and 7 of those have been on fastball. So he's driving the ball as hard as he almost ever has in his career as far as exit velocity, and he's just finding out that, you know what, I don't have to swing at anything inside unless I have 2 strikes. I'm going to let you make a mistake out over the dish. And sometimes when he would pull the ball to right field, he's saying, no, I'm going to just go with it and hit rockets to left. That's why we're seeing a lot more left-center gaps from Christian Yelich in the last few months.
The other thing, too, about this Brewers team right now, as we look at it, is they try to catch the Padres because the Cardinals, with all due respect, I mean, they kind of seem out of reach at this point, don't they? With a month left, obviously, you know, some baseball to be played, but trying to catch 5-6 games here in a month is going to be difficult.
Well, if the Cardinals keep winning, it's going to be difficult.
Right.
They can do nothing. And who's pitching to Albert Pujols right now? Are you kidding me? I can't believe he keeps hitting home runs. If I'm up there, there's no shot I'm going to let this guy get one off of me at this point in the season with what he's trying to do, obviously trying to go yard. But anyway, the Cardinals right now have some of the best hitters in baseball, and they just refuse to lose. But I think a big series coming up, even though it's only 2 games against the Cardinals next month, I feel like that could, you know, if the Brewers get within striking distance, they have a chance to gain 2 whole games. That's pretty big. So, yes, they're down 6, but they're catching hot, and hopefully the Cardinals can start to scuffle.
You know, it's interesting. We talk about Christian Yelich getting hot, Garrett Mitchell playing well since his call-up. Another guy that has struggled here, not at AAA, but has struggled at the big league level the last couple of years, is Keston Hira. He gets a walk-off winner on Monday night for the Brewers. He's been playing really well as of late, too. And if the Brewers are going to catch anybody, they got to have a couple guys get hot. And it appears Hira could be another one of those guys.
Yeah, you could also throw Hunter Renfro in the mix, Colton Wong in the mix. There's a lot of guys that are starting to swing the bat really well. Keston Hira, no exception. If you go back to his last 27 games, the guy's got 9 home runs. His last 23 at-bats, he has 4 home runs. One thing he does really well is hit the fastball. He's batting .270 on fastball, and he's hitting the ball. Just like Yelich, he's hitting the ball almost harder than any other time in his career. And I don't know. I love Keston Hira. I love his at-bats. Last night, he came into the game in the 4th inning after Tellez hurt his knee, struck out a couple times, but obviously, you know, that's tough to do when you're just kind of thrown in the mix, is to get good at bats. But boom, third at bat ends the game. Second walk-off this season for him. He's an electric player. I hope to see him in the lineup every single day.
Let's talk about the Brewers pitching staff as it currently sits right now. Your thoughts on Devin Williams and the job that he's done in this closer role since Josh Hader was traded?
I probably can't do as eloquent as Adam McAlvey does on this episode of Brewers Unfiltered, but I think it's a tough gig when you take over that closing role, and he's had a lot of different roles throughout this season in particular. He's thrown 3 days in a row at times. He has sat for several days at times. But he's been in all these different situations that are new to him in his career, and I think he's handled it pretty well. And he's right now 9-for-10 in save situations. He's still second in all of baseball in holds. So he's a very high leverage pitcher. He's got an under 2 ERA in the second half. Yes, he still plays. He's still good. As long as he's healthy, he's going to go out there and put up good innings.
Let me ask you this, because I don't know the answer. I guess that's why I'm asking it. In some sports, you know, with coaches, like the NFL, well, you know, he's a better coordinator than he is a lead man as a head coach. And there's nothing wrong with that. Not everybody is cut out for that. From a pitching standpoint, you got to have that special something to be in that closer role. And maybe not everybody has that necessarily. And you don't really know, obviously, till you get into that role.
It's different. You know, they say high leverage inning, sure, but it's different when you're the closer, when it all hangs in the balance, there's nobody coming to rescue you. It's an uneasy feeling at times. I've closed a few times in the minor leagues, but still there's a sense of anxiety surrounding that. That's why if you go across the board, when it comes to closers, they are mental, just giants. They're just mentally there. I think Devin Williams has that. If he's not fully matured in that way, he's getting there, and he's getting a crash course, especially going the last month of the season where they're trying to push for playoffs. These are going to be some of the biggest moments he's ever been in, and I think the groundwork's being laid for that. Plus, he had a great teacher in Josh Hader. I mean, they were throwing partners. They both grew together, so he has all the tools in the toolbox, and what he's building is pretty impressive.
I set you up for my next question, I'll be honest, Tim Dillard, because I want to talk about it in the reverse role as well. When you're in that closer role for a majority of your career, and then you get moved back into a setup role, into a middle innings role, how long does it take for that transition? I think of Taylor Rogers, obviously, for the Brewers, and now Josh Hader for the Padres.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's anything to that. I think if you had to go from 9 to 8, that's probably easier than going from 8 to 9. Because there's always that chance somebody can come and bail you out. But either way, number one, relieving is just hard. Being a relief pitcher is just hard. You know, you may be one of the best pitchers in the league, but your ERA is a 10 because you gave up 9 runs in one outing. But for the rest of the time, you've been completely awesome. And so it's hard to kind of grade that. But on some of the things that they do grade and what they look at is just like weak contact. I will say this about Devin Williams. He just gives up weak contact. Like, people can't barrel him up. And if you want a guy that's coming in the end of a game to kind of extinguish any chance of putting a ball in play with some velocity, he's going to be the guy. But I think Taylor Rogers was kind of battling an injury, and I think right now Josh Hader is just battling himself.
That's the thing with Josh Hader. I mean, I tend to read a lot of all this analytical stuff and so forth. Not that I'm a fan of it necessarily, but I tend to read a lot of it. And there was a piece put out right around the time the Brewers traded Hader. I don't remember if it was before they traded Hader or after, talking about arm angle and how his arm angle has changed slightly, and how they were summarizing that may be leading to the fact that he's getting hit more frequently because he's not hiding the ball as well as he had in the past, just based on that minute little change that he may or may not be aware of. From that perspective as a pitcher, how in-depth are they during the season as far as making sure the arm angle is still the same and everything is still doing the same type of thing once you're in season and not in the off-season working on things?
Yeah, I heard about this article as well just the other day. I'll say this. If there's somebody that's going to write an article about it, believe me, the players and the coaches know about it, especially this day and age. If you would have said, you know, 10 or 15 years ago, it's like, hey, where's your arm angle at? It's like, man, you know, whatever it is that day.
Right.
I'm going to roll out of bed and just go with what I have. you know, maybe I slept funny. I don't know where my hand is. But now they have so many measuring tools. Anytime you're throwing in a bullpen, they got TrackMan at every stadium, even in the minor leagues. Like, nothing can sneak past you anymore, especially when you struggle. And they can read your RPMs. If something's off, they're going to find it. And that's what's difficult a lot of times, is if everything lines up for the most part, you're trying to just fish for stuff on what could be the problem. I think that's fishing a little bit. I don't think that's going to be the reason he's not hiding it as well. I think it started out as he made a mistake, you know, and got hit one game out of nowhere. And then it was kind of like that, okay, we made Superman bleed a little bit. And so people are going up there with more confidence, and it steamrolled. If he's healthy, then he'll be fine.
He is Tim Dillard. Catch him every Tuesday here on 1250 AM. The Fan, brought to you by Robert Hack Diamonds, where they pay cash for your gold. Visit them in Greenfield at 76th and Layden, or their new location in Brookfield, roberthackdiamonds.com. Tim, as always, thanks so much for coming on. We'll talk to you next Tuesday.
All right. Appreciate it, Sparky. Check out our podcast, Brewers Unfiltered. We got Keston here as our guest. Woo! You don't want to miss it.
Keston Hira. Oh, now we're talking, man. That dude, I've been able to hear him a couple of times in different interviews. Seems to be a pretty chilled, laid-back dude.
He's an impressive human. You're going to see a side of him and just hear him speak and the stuff that he's gone through and have the perspective that he does. It's good. It's a lesson for anybody out there that's, maybe has somebody they know that's in the baseball realm or just the sports realm, and what it takes to get somewhere and the team that you have to have behind you.
Got to go listen to it. Brewers Unfiltered on your Odyssey app or at brewers.com. Tim, talk to you next Tuesday.
Yep, thank you.
There he is, Tim Dillard, right, live here as we talk to you on the 55s, delivered up by Young Express. Start your new career or job today at youngexpress.com. JUNGExpress.com. Don't forget, every 55 past the hour, Monday through Friday, starting at 6 a.m., you'll get the latest in local sports talk, whether it be interviews, a sparky take, whatever the case may be, Monday through Friday here on 1250 AM, The Fan.